Good evening. Please welcome Shackley's Chairman of Medical Affairs, Health Sciences, and Education, Dr. Jamie McManus.
Good evening, Shackley family, and how is everyone doing? Hopefully we're having a wonderful May wherever you are. We actually finally have some blue sky here in Northern California. We've been having an extended winter, or an intermittently extended winter. So it kind of feels at least and looks a little bit like May out there. Happy belated Mother's Day to everyone, and that is somewhat our topic for tonight's call, and that is celebrating women and children, motherhood, menopause, and beyond. And what's beyond menopause? We don't know. Actually, there is life beyond menopause. And actually, since about a third of a woman's life is after menopause, sometimes even a half of a woman's life may be after menopause, we hope that there's something after menopause. So we're going to go through a little bit of a focus tonight on women from the standpoint of health, obviously, as well as kind of looking, kind of breaking things down into life stages to talk about kind of more age and stage-related health issues and Shackley solutions, things we can all be thinking about. And to share the microphone with me tonight is our senior manager of health sciences, Pam Manning. Hi, Pam.
Hello, everybody.
And so we're going to do a little tag team here tonight and then give you kind of some good thoughts and perspectives about things to be talking to your organizations and your customers and your friends and family about that will help, introduce the topic of health and obviously the topic of Shackley to people that you care about and people that you meet along the way. And as always, we do encourage you to share this call in its rebroadcast form as well as actively during the call with people who you may be talking to and actively in your circle of people that you're introducing Shackley to. So basically, kind of overall, obviously, no matter what stage you're at in your life and whether you're male or female, we're going to focus on women this month and we'll probably focus a little bit more male-oriented next month, but women need to be focused on eating healthily, on having a very healthy intake of all of the amounts of healthy protein, fruits and vegetables, healthy grains, healthy fats, and all these good types of food and a balance of food that we eat are all so very important to overall health and energy. We're going to talk about the importance of being active, how to manage stress, and of course, supplementing wisely. A lot of what we believe in here in Shackley is the power of supplementation, and our spring tour talks, our health and wellness seminars that we've been giving these past few months out in the road. Many of you may have been at an event, and we really have actively addressed the why supplement, why Shackley, and it's been extremely well received by people. And everyone comes to us and says we really need more of that sort of information. So you will see more and more of that coming from health sciences, because that truly is what it's all about, is being able to give people the understanding of how supplements fit into a healthy lifestyle. It's not the whole picture, but it can be a very important and critical aspect, and a not as well understood aspect and a harder to incorporate aspect at times. So to be able to have lots of talking points and lots of information and a strong sense of confidence and credibility in sharing what you want to share with other people, we hope will provide great value for you and your life personally, as well as for those around you that you're sharing Shackley with and building a business around. And so that'll be a lot of our focus and how that fits into an overall healthy lifestyle and how our Shackley solutions and how the Shackley difference positions us from other solutions out there. So obviously building the need for it and then following up with why we're unique and why we're the best option in whatever solution category you're looking at is going to be valuable information for you personally as well as in your business life. And so let's get on with now our kind of general topics, and then we'll go into the kind of the stage-related aspects, which will include some discussion of children's issues today, as well as our wonderful Shackley Kid and Shackley Baby products. So let's start out with that very important topic, and no one better to cover that than our dietitian, and that's how do we eat healthfully, Pam?
Well, like you said, Dr. Jamie, I mean, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, whether you're a man or woman or child, eating healthy is the foundation of you know, wellness here, and at Shackley we place a good emphasis on that. So just, you know, everybody knows these principles, but just to reinforce them, number one, about, you know, really trying to strive to eat a variety of foods, you know, not one particular food group has all the, you know, vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients that you need, so really eating a large variety of different foods and experiencing all of the wonderful nutrition that they have to offer. Certainly focusing on getting plenty of whole grains, beans, legumes, fresh fruits and vegetables, all excellent sources of dietary fiber. Choosing lean meats, fish, poultry, your non-fat or your low-fat dairy products and soy to get all the essential amino acids that you need, and to control appetite and hunger, really selecting from the heart-healthy fats. So we want to avoid the trans fats, the processed fats that you'll find in packaging in convenience foods, as well as saturated fats, because both of the trans fats and saturated fats raise your blood cholesterol, promote, you know, inflammation. And then we want to eat more of the omega-3 fatty acids from fish and flax, as well as monounsaturated fats from olive oil and nuts and seeds, because those are much more anti-inflammatory and heart-healthy types of fats to consume. Obviously, we want to watch our sodium intake, and sodium actually has been in the news a lot. I've been paying attention to you know, some of the public health messages, and it seems to be a strong focus on really getting people, again, to reduce their sodium intake to no more than about 1,500 milligrams a day. And it's really easy just with some of the natural sodium that's in foods to reach, you know, that amount. So really watching the convenience and package and processed foods, not cooking with salt, not adding salt to your foods if possible. And of course, drinking plenty of water, as well as cutting back on fast food, you know, high sugary sodas that just provide a bunch of empty calories, as well as other junk food. So some general reminders about healthy eating.
We might suggest that people eliminate fast food.
Yes, that's even better if you can.
A lofty goal, but not a bad idea.
And then, of course, you know, the second really aspect is about, you know, promoting physical activity, being as active as we can, and we always try to emphasize that component of wellness whenever we go out to speak or we do science talks and things like that. So reminding people of the many benefits of physical activity, you know, reducing the risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, and some kinds of cancers, you know, of course, helping to maintain and achieve a healthy body weight. It helps with mental well-being, reducing feelings of depression, anxiety, promotes really a good psychological well-being, helps build and maintain your healthy bones, muscles, and joints so that you can have a long, healthy, strong physical body, promotes flexibility and balance. And these are all very important as we age to really maintain our muscle mass and our flexibility and balance. You know, and in terms of recommendations of what types of activities, I really think any activity that you can enjoy, that you can do on a regular basis, is really the answer. But moderate type of activity, at least 30 minutes a day, most days of the week. So that can be brisk walking, dancing, even playing actively with your children, biking, and then combining that with some maybe some resistant training, maybe 2 days a week doing some light weight training, which is really going to help, you know, retain your muscle mass and promote that strength and healthy bones and muscles and joints. And then really focusing on everyday activities wherever you can just to be more physically active. You know, take the stairs, not the elevator. Park farther away from your destination and walk. If you take the bus, get off a few stops early, especially now that the weather is getting nicer. Should be able to get out and do more physical activity such as gardening, or and if you're at work, you know, taking fitness breaks just to get up and walk around for 10 or 15 minutes during the day. So now I'm going to hand it back to Dr. Jamie to kind of talk about another factor that many women struggle with, which is managing stress.
Oh, but we don't have any here, though, so we have no issues with that. But we'll try to give you advice, not really experiencing this on our own, of course. Well, Pam and I, both being of the female persuasion, would definitely agree with what probably many of you feel out there as well, and that is that women are really great at juggling and multitasking, and that skill, which it is an innate skill, I think, for women in general, more so than men. Sorry if there's any men listening. But you probably will all agree that your wives and female people in your life do juggle pretty well. We're good jugglers. But unfortunately, there's a price to pay for that, and that's that chronic internal stress, which we'll talk about. Certainly, there's significant health consequences to stress. We, you know, there are those who believe that stress is one of the most major impactors of health. And so it's important to be able to recognize stress as well as to understand it. So that's what we're going to kind of go through here. So digestive issues, immune function, sleep issues, I mean, all these things can be related to underlying stressors in your life. And the CDC actually estimates that 75 to 80% of doctor's visits have a stress component. So that's obviously, you know, again, indicative of the fact that this is a day-to-day issue that many of us are facing. So, you know, I think that some of the most important things that you want to do are understand what are those stressors. So here's just a list of things that have been identified as top stressors. Most of these are not going to be a surprise. Some of them may be a little bit of a surprise for you. Number one is a family member having a significant illness is the number one stressor. Any of you have that in your lives you're dealing with, you understand how much that impacts your day-to-day lives. Second is money, certainly the economy and finances in general. It's one of the number one causes of divorce, and certainly is a top stressor. Personal health issues, clearly that's going to be a stressor. So it can cause emotional and mental stress as well as the physical stress aspects. Children, obviously we love them dearly, but they too bring their stresses, children and grandchildren. There are many, many people out there today who are raising their grandchildren. And so it can be actually children and grandchildren issues. Obviously your work or your career can be stressors. There's positive stress and negative stress. Some of these things are that, you know, the stress can actually be a good kind of stress. It still can have a significant consequence on your day-to-day functioning. Intimate relationships, commuting, personal safety. It's kind of interesting. The number eight is personal safety. I don't really have those issues in my life, but certainly having a daughter in her early 20s, I think about personal safety all the time related to her safety. And, there are people out there that don't live in the safest environment and or have job situations that may put them at some sort of risk. And we read things in the newspaper all the time. I think reading the newspaper probably should be put in the top 10 stressors.
Yes, watching the news at night.
Watching the news at night. We probably should all stop doing that. Number nine is fears of terrorism or natural disasters, which is interesting. And we live in the land of earthquakes. We don't feel that stressed about it all the time, but we think people are crazy to live in a tornado land or a hurricane land. But we all live with those various types of stressors. And then discrimination is number 10, which is clearly can be discrimination related to your sex, related to your sexual orientation, related to your color, related to your ethnicity. And so these are just some of the stressors out there, just to kind of recognize and think about if, you know, maybe some of these things are causing some sort of stress for you. The stress response is interesting. As humans, we're very well programmed to deal with stress. But unfortunately, our evolutionary, processes in developing that stress response are related to the need to respond to acute stressors, like being chased by a woolly mammoth. And so that was kind of the evolution of the fight or flight response. And there's an automatic or autonomic response in your nervous system that where you respond to both physical as well as a mental and emotional stresses or threats, as your body may perceive, your body or mind may perceive this as a threat. And there's a whole alarm system, this fight or flight response, that kicks off a variety of responses in your body, including increasing your heart rate, increasing blood flow, but blood flow away from your intestinal tract and to your extremities, so you can mobilize activity and movement, mobilize energy and nutrients from your system, which can drop your blood sugar, which then can initiate an insulin response. And so when you put this into the context of today's world, where the stresses are not always so acute, but more subacute and chronic stresses that we deal with kind of on a day in and day out basis. If you look at those, I think back to those 10 stressors, those are not acute stresses for the most part. I mean, you may have a sudden issue with personal safety, but overall these are ongoing chronic stressors. And so when you have all those mechanisms in place in the body on a day in and day out basis, then there's tremendous ramifications in your digestive system, irritable bowel, even inflammatory bowel disorders, hyperacidity, ulcers, reflux. All these things can be exacerbated by stress and even caused by stress. Immune function, people who are under stress are sick more often. They're more likely to develop cancer. They're more likely to get various infectious diseases. They're more likely to develop autoimmune conditions. So the entire functioning and balance of your immune system can be affected by stress. Obviously, cardiovascular disease. It's very clear that stress is a major factor in the development of heart disease, as well as an exacerbation of existing heart disease. Sleep issues, if you're chronically sleep deprived or sleep disturbed by virtue of stress, changes in your job performance, chronic anxiety, can all very much have a ripple effect in other areas of your life. And then weight gain is another major impact of stress. And for many people, and in particular women in the middle years and menopause and beyond, the tendency towards more cortisol production at the when you're under stress sets in a chain action that the result is increasing fat stores in the abdomen, so increasing of abdominal obesity. And as we've talked about before, that is a very negative type of excess weight to carry that has more biological activity, more consequences from a health standpoint, especially related to heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So clearly, we want to understand stress, we want to understand the ramifications of it, and then take steps to control that. So obviously, this number one is what we're trying to do here, walk through identifying what those stressors are, and then try to determine what you can change and what you can't change. What you can change, the goal is to try to make those changes if possible. Things that you aren't able to change, then it's kind of trying to either give yourself some respite from dealing with those situations, whether it's a sick family member or it's children issues or it's a job issue. Trying to schedule some personal time. Pam and I are big believers in the importance of exercising regularly, as in sometimes that may be your only personal time that you get, especially if you have a young family. That's again something you have to schedule in. I know when my kids were littler, I would go to my gym and do my aerobics class, and Tuesday and Thursday night, come hell or high water, excuse my French there, I would be there, and they'd get whisked out of daycare into daycare at the gym, which they actually thought was great fun because it was a whole new set of kids to play with, so it was not a big deal for them. It was more stressful for me, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm being a bad mom. But the reality is that 2 hours of exercise a week at least was an important one to survive. So schedule that time, find your time to and what you need to do, whether it's scheduling a massage once a week, whether it's going on a walk every Sunday, no matter what. I mean, just make sure that you set aside some time. Nutrition plays an amazing role in managing stress. When you have adequate intakes of all the things we were talking about, that Pam was talking about related to healthy eating habits, as well as our next topic and what we'll talk about throughout this call tonight, is how to incorporate supplementation wisely into your life. We know that good nutrition, omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants, and just having all the vitamins and minerals that your body needs for optimum functioning is going to help you deal with stress that much better. Getting enough sleep. And, you know, we know that there's things that you can do from a botanical standpoint, products and ingredients that can help specifically address stress issues, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the call tonight. And then, of course, as we've been just mentioning here, the importance of supplementation, and we obviously feel very strongly about that. We need your good foundation of nutrients to assure that you have no gaps in your basic cellular and functional needs of your vitamins and minerals, and then optimally taking in, you know, a great amount of this through your diet, but also through supplementation as well. We believe that, of course, Shaklee Vitalizer is the absolute best nutrition foundation for everyone in Shaklee. So everyone currently in Shaklee should be using one of the three Vitalizer options as their foundation. This is not the totality of your nutritional supplementation by any means, but it's a great starting point for new people, so that everyone that you talk to about Shaklee, this should be part of the introduction. We have the landmark study and many other tools that can help you tell the story of this very comprehensive and complete program or product rather that gives people your basic vital E as well as carotenoids, omega-3 fatty acids, 8 different forms of vitamin E, a probiotic, and a very nice sustained release delivery of B vitamins as well as vitamin C. So it's a fabulous program supported by the research of the landmark study with a delivery, the smart delivery system, which is patented and helps to make it unique. And it's a wonderful story to tell as far as getting the nutrients to the right place at the right time. And so we really think that this is a very convenient way to introduce nutrition and the importance of nutrition and the power of nutrition and the results of nutrition to everyone that you are talking to. And hopefully that's a lot of new people out there. Okay, now we're going to go start into our different segments here of ages and stages, and we're going to start with women in their 20s and 30s, beginning career and family. Pam.
All righty. Really, when we talk about that stage of our lives, I kind of call it the time of choices for many women in their 20s to late 30s and maybe even into their early 40s are really trying to balance their careers, start family. And so when we talk about starting a family, the best thing to, move on to would be the topic of a healthy pregnancy, because this is the very important thing around nutrition and really having a healthy pregnancy starts beyond or before getting pregnant in the very first place. So you really want to focus on starting very good with some preconception care, eating healthy, exercising, not smoking, stopping alcohol consumption, cutting back or eliminating caffeine intake, to ensure that you get off to a very good start getting pregnant in the first place. And certainly for many women, taking a multivitamin with at least 400 micrograms of folic acid early on before they even become pregnant, when they're considering becoming pregnant, to ensure, reducing the risk of neural tube defect, which is can be caused by inadequate folic acid intake. And oftentimes, women finds out that she's pregnant, she's already, maybe 8 weeks into it. So it's really important to eat healthy and get plenty of folic acid prior to becoming pregnant in the first place. And in addition to, preconception care, during pregnancy, I think many women, there's still a lot of myths out there. I think one of the biggest myths is that, you're eating for two now, when in reality, you only really need
In fact, the first trimester,
you don't even need any additional calories. In the second and third trimester, it's about 300 additional calories a day. Really easy to get 300 calories. Yogurt, a half a sandwich, you're there. You have some milk and maybe some peanut butter and piece of bread, and you're close to getting 300 calories pretty easy. So not to overdo it, because you certainly don't want to gain too much weight. That can be an extra burden on delivery and having bigger babies. So really important to remember that concept that you don't really need to eat for two, and many women probably use that as an excuse to enjoy everything they've been holding back on. Another important part for healthy pregnancy is to consume high-quality protein. The recommendations during pregnancy are up to about 60 grams of high-quality protein a day. And you can get that through, several servings of lean meat, poultry, soy, and some fish. And we'll talk about kind of the issues around fish consumption during pregnancy. Certainly want to focus on getting adequate calcium and vitamin D in your diet, as well as supplements to support bone health. We talk about growing fetuses as kind of being parasites on a woman's body. In other words, meaning that, if your baby, needs the calcium, it's going to get the calcium first, and it's going to draw from your stores and your bones to provide the baby the calcium that they need, and that's going to leave you in a compromised state. So adequate calcium and vitamin D is important, as well as ensuring adequate intake of omega-3 fatty acids, in particular DHA. DHA has been widely studied for promoting early fetal brain and visual development, and that last trimester of pregnancy is really important to make sure that a mom is consuming adequate levels of omega-3 fatty acids and DHA, so when their infant is born, they've got an advantage there in terms of their brain and visual development. Most experts today recommend about 300 milligrams of DHA during pregnancy and carrying on through nursing to ensure adequate amounts. Now, the issue around getting adequate omega-3 fatty acids, because the best sources really are fish, and there are concerns, obviously, for many of us about heavy metal contamination into our fish supply. And so, there is some recommendations in terms of what pregnant women should avoid among fish consumption. So it is recommended not to consume undercooked or fish or meat, and to specifically avoid shark, swordfish, mackerel, and tilefish, which tend to be high in mercury. So we, do recommend supplementing your omega-3 fatty acid content with a high-quality fish oil supplement. Another issue that comes up for women during pregnancy is constipation. So that's due to some of the hormonal changes that can, lead to that. So plenty of fiber, rich foods, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, plenty of water, regular exercise to prevent constipation. And then women's iron needs definitely go up during pregnancy. Blood volume increases, so it's very, very important to eat iron-rich foods and take supplements as necessary to prevent iron deficiency anemia during pregnancy, which is quite common for many women. In terms of Shaklee solutions for healthy pregnancy, we really, have a great foundation for that, starting with, making sure that you get your essential vitamins and minerals covered with vitally with iron or even Vitalizer. For additional folic acid, you may want to add in 2 tablets of, B-complex and to ensure that you're getting adequate calcium and magnesium and additional vitamin D. Osteomatrix is a great product for that. And again, to get those omega-3 fatty acids, OmegaGuard is a great option. And 3 soft gels provide you about a gram of total omega-3 fatty acids, but 360 milligrams of DHA, which is perfect to meet the 300 milligram recommendation. And we also have our Mighty Smart Chews, which we'll talk about more when we head into our little segment here on children. But that's a great additional product to get additional DHA per chew. You get another 100 milligrams of DHA. So for pregnant moms who want to boost their DHA intake, they can do it with Mighty Smart as well. And then we have, some more targeted solutions. Certainly to get some high-quality protein, additional calories, Cinch Shake is a great option for that, or a Cinch Meal in a Bar. If you need additional fiber, we have our Fiber Plan products, as well as our product to support additional iron needs, Iron Plus C. So there's some options there to kind of personalize your needs depending on your situation. So now I'm going to hand it back to Dr. Jamie because there's no other better time to talk about children's health since we just went through pregnancy.
Now the child has been born now, and we now need to take care of it, he or she. Yes, and certainly we have some challenges in today's world related to raising healthy kids. I think the dietary intake of our children as a whole, not our Shaklee kids, of course, but again, the people that you're talking to out there, are the new folks out there that may not know about Shaklee. And unfortunately, the statistics and the facts are a little bit shocking. Like French fries is the most common vegetable source for our kids today. It's obviously not living in the house with my son and daughter-in-law, with my granddaughter who just turned 2 last month. And of course, she if anybody asks her what she eats at Grammy's house, she says kiwi, because she always says kiwi and cottage cheese. So she can say those things for sure. We're trying to teach her to say organic kiwi, so we're working on the organic part now. That 69, this is shocking to me, 69%, so 70% essentially, of 19 to 24 months old, so toddlers, not even 2 years old, eat candy or dessert on every day. which is also kind of shocking. Gianna got introduced to a cupcake on her first birthday, and she had no idea even what to do with it. The video of it is just comical because my son is having to teach her what to do with a cupcake. And once she gets going on a cupcake, she thinks, wow, this is pretty darn good. Why haven't I experienced this before? That was the last cupcake she's had.
I remember my son's first cupcake very clearly. His grin on his face.
Totally, exactly. Most 8-year-olds today drink soft drinks every day, and a 12-ounce serving of a soft drink contains 9 teaspoons of sugar, as well as phosphorus, which is of great concern for both bones and teeth. We really have some bad habits that we have to address in our children, and that 25% of the calories on a typical school day come from junk food. You may say 25%, oh, wow, that's not much. I mean, that's shocking to me, horrifying to me, that we actually would have our children that we wonder why they can't learn effectively or may not be getting the best grades or may not be advancing in test scores as they should. And certainly a lot of that performance in life in general has a lot to do with what they put into their bodies. And so, again, you know, great topics of conversation for people out there. And then, of course, you know, not only what we're putting in our children, but what we're surrounding our children with, what's around us in the world. And certainly, you know, we want to put that in the context of children or smaller bodies, babies, but even young children. You know, they have thinner skin overall, as well as they have a much larger surface area of skin exposure relative to their overall size and weight. And so the effect of toxic chemicals or chemicals that may be toxic may have a more significant effect in infants, certainly, and even young children or and children. Of course, they're all smaller than adults. Most of the industrial chemicals that are found in cord blood samples are not actually tested, and not actually tested for safety. Some of them are even banned ingredients. We've gone very big and Shafley with the BPA-free packaging, and this is something that, again, you have to look for now out there in the world. That's something that we can stand for very, strong, and we've put our stake in the ground about many things in Shafley over the years, and one of the newer ones is the bisphenol A-free packaging, because this can be an endocrine disruptor. It's commonly found in baby bottles, toys, and many other types of packaging. So we certainly, you know, want to get educated. I mean, I think the important thing is to get good information, to speak from a position of facts as opposed to opinions. We have a great resource for you that Pam was largely instrumental in creating here last year that hopefully all of you know about, and it's called Super Wellness for Super Kids. And this is a health sciences booklet. This is not about the product, but this is about all of the things you need to know about health issues and ingredients and types of things that you should be thinking about to address certain health concerns and issues in your children. You want to, you know, to look for credible information, and we want to be that credible source of information in the Shafley world and in the world in general. We're looking at always looking at ways that we can extend the reach of our information, and part of it for all of you is to utilize information that you do have, like these calls, like Hotline, and get that out to even more people. You want to take action and be good role models for the children in your life, whether it's children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever in your life. You want to eat healthfully, choose supplementation wisely. We're going to say ban the soft drinks and ban the junk food, and to be as active as possible, and to really try to make a stand on using safe products from your household cleaners onto all the products that you're using. So let's just take a few minutes now. We're going to start incorporating some products here, as Pam has done with the Healthy Pregnancy Solutions. So we launched last year our Shafley Baby, and we also launched some new products for our children, some reformulations as well as the new products. So with Shafley Baby was our first foray into organic products, and this was a very conscious choice. You know, we have always talked about going beyond organic because organic is a certification process for the way things are grown, not necessarily for the way they're processed or how they're delivered to you. And so we've had to be very careful. And then when you get into the personal care arena, there's other rules, including the fact that if you are not 99% organic, you must disclose it on the label, which is why we have varying percentages of organic ingredients in the Shaklee Baby products, not because they're, for instance, one that's 78% or 76% doesn't mean that the other 24% is not safe. It just means it's not. There may not be an organic choice of the ingredient, most likely, or the ingredient doesn't meet our quality standards because some of our quality standards are even higher than exist for a given organic ingredient. So we very carefully go through that process. But overall, some of the characteristics of the Shaklee Baby line is that the products are clinically tested by pediatricians. They contain no parabens, which is a big topic out there today, as well as phthalates and formaldehyde and all those bad chemicals that that people are becoming increasingly aware of as being of concern. The products are hypoallergenic and pH balanced. There's no synthetic fragrances, no artificial colors, and as we talked about just a few minutes ago, the packaging is free of bisphenol A. So the product we launched for our Shaklee baby products from a nutritional standpoint, that we have the wonderful personal care products with the baby wash, the lotion, the diaper cream, and the oil, which are all lovely and well used in my house. In fact, I have a couple of cute little clips of Gianna saying, "I love Shaklee baby." She can now say Shaklee baby. It somewhat sounds like Shaklee baby. So you may see an ad coming soon. I don't know. Probably not. My son and daughter-in-law are a little protective about this sort of thing, so probably not, actually. So infant and toddlers, the reality is, just kind of giving you some of the statistics from what kids are consuming today, and we believe in the power of filling in all those nutritional gaps and assuring that you have all the nutrients you need, and so that certainly is important for your children as well. Unfortunately, as we've talked about, these poor eating habits start way too young, and that most infants and toddlers are not actually exposed to fresh fruits and vegetables, and this is not a daily intake for them. Most vitamins and minerals are not stored in the body, so we do need to continually replace them. Things that we think about with adults, we have to think about with children as well. There's a growing concern about vitamin D deficiency in children as well. The statistics in children are just as concerning as they are in adults, and there's a number of studies showing that children, especially those living in the northern latitudes of the United States, may have suboptimal levels of vitamin D, which is very important. We're actually diagnosing rickets, which is a disease that has not been seen since the early 20th century in children. And rickets is from vitamin D deficiency. It's actually a soft bone, basically. Children, they actually don't even have develop straight bones. If they have the curved bones that you think of in most people. In fact, essentially no doctors in modern times have seen rickets. And there's now been a resurgence in some of the inner cities in the northern parts of the United States. We're actually diagnosing rickets in children from vitamin D deficiency. So it's something to think about, even if you live in the suburbs and even if you live in the southern part of the United States, giving your child a little additional vitamin D is just a smart idea, as well as for adults. So our multivitamin and multimineral powder, for infants and toddlers, obviously no artificial colors, flavors, or added preservatives. It's gluten-free. You can mix it in juice or cereal or even baby food that you may be feeding to your infant from 6 months up to 3 or 4 years until you're comfortable with their doing the chewable multivitamin, which we'll get to in just a moment. Powder has 23 vitamins and minerals and has an added prebiotic. It actually meets the new American Academy of Pediatrics new standards on vitamin D with 400 international units per day. And then move on to Shaklee Kids, and we have two great products that launched last year. We have our Incredivites and Mighty Smart. Now, clearly just a few additional facts about why kids need additional vitamins and minerals, all the same statistics we just talked about a few minutes, including in a recent study, 59% of 55% of children tested had low levels of vitamin D. The immune system is very, very important in children. They're exposed to viruses and bacteria and all sorts of different, which they oftentimes bring home to their parents. So having them have a healthy immune system is going to help everyone in the family stay healthier. And poor nutrition definitely can impact their learning ability, their growth, their development, as well as their just overall health. So Incredivite is a great product. It's chewable, new flavors, new packaging, contains those same 23 essential nutrients, 100% of the vitamin C and E that you need. This, we actually included 600 international units of vitamin D in our Incredivite. It's naturally flavored, I mean not flavored, but sweetened rather with xylitol, which does not promote cavities, dental caries. And of course, as always with Shockley, contains no artificial flavors, sweeteners, or added preservatives, and is also gluten-free. We really have definitely tried to go to an official certification process so that we can now state on our labels, there's unfortunately a lot of products out there that may say gluten-free just by virtue of their ingredient. We actually, in order to put it on the label, go to the higher standard of actually doing the official testing. And so when you see gluten-free on our products, you know that they are definitely gluten-free. So then our DHA product, Mighty Smart, as Pam mentioned, related to pregnancy, DHA is increasingly understood for its benefits in brain health and brain development, as well as eye development in the fetus. So it's recommended during pregnancy now. And, of course, there's going to be ongoing benefit for your children as they continue to be developing their brains and their eyes, hopefully, as the years progress. A recent published study showed that children ages 4 to 12 taking 100 milligrams of DHA were able to increase their levels of DHA by up to almost 80%, 79%. And we clearly know from the statistics that children are not, they're certainly not eating fish, they're not eating any of the more typical sources of DHA, and as a result of this, they definitely are probably substandard in their DHA intake. So our Mighty Smart is a great, great tasting chew. It delivers 100 milligrams of DHA per serving, which is a level that's clinically proven to increase blood levels of DHA in children. It's certified organic. It's 100% natural. Of course, no artificial colors and flavors. And, of course, gluten-free. So great alternatives for kids for you to assure as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles that the children in your life have a very critical nutrient for their overall development and progress in life. And with that, we're going to head back to women. We're getting the kids raised, and now we're getting into our 30s and 40s and having teenagers and college-age kids, and oh, my gosh, talk about stress.
And I can personally talk about that because I have two teenagers, and I'm right in this period of my life. So really during this period, the late 30s, late 40s, women, most women there are experiencing, hormonal changes of perimenopause, really. And we talk about perimenopause because that's really the time leading up to menopause. And a lot of women say, well, I'm menopausal, but the reality is menopause is really one day. It's a day that you have not had a period for 12 months in a row, and then you have entered menopause. But that's the time leading up to that is where, your ovaries begin to kind of shut down. You make less estrogen and progesterone, the reproductive hormones. And this is really a natural part of aging that signals the end of our reproductive years. And that is the time, when women begin experiencing hot flashes and night sweats and accelerated bone loss. Your bones begin to break down at a lot faster rate than they get built up. During this, 5 to 7 years, around the menopausal years, many women experience mood swings, mild depression, this feeling of kind of foggy thinking, as well as sleep disturbances, whether that be from night sweats or just the inability to sleep. And I know personally there's some nights where I just feel like I could be up all night long for no apparent reason. And I'm feeling that it's probably related to some of those hormonal changes. And then for many women, start to see weight gain. Estrogen kind of helps keep our, waist to hip ratio in line. And when that starts to change, women start to develop more abdominal obesity. Their waist begins to, increase. And that can lead to a lot of weight-related, diseases, heart disease, diabetes, some of the things that we get challenged with later in life, which Dr. Jamie will address here shortly. But during this perimenopausal time, some of the things that women can do is to strive to eat more plant estrogens like soy. There's, a large abundance of literature supporting moderate soy intake, from soy protein, from tofu, from other sources of soy per day to help, reduce the frequency and severity of hot flashes. Seems to work better in women who have, more frequently, more severe. If you're suffering just kind of from some mild things, you may not notice a significant change when you're boosting up your soy intake, but it definitely can reduce the frequency and the severity of hot flashes for many women. To address the accelerated bone loss, you have to continue to make sure that you're getting adequate calcium and vitamin D. Calcium needs during this period of life get boosted up to, around 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams a day. So you really, that can be quite challenging to get that much in your diet. A glass of milk has about 300 milligrams, and not many women are drinking, five cups of milk or, having yogurt and all those things to get that level up. So supplementation makes a lot of sense. And then, of course, that adequate amount of vitamin D enhance calcium absorption, as well as promote heart health, a healthy immune function, and all the wonderful things we've talked about a lot lately about the health benefits of additional vitamin D. To address some of the mood changes, omega-3 fatty acids, your EPA, your DHA, they get those fatty acids, when you consume them and increase the amount in your diet, they get incorporated into all your cell membranes. And the membranes of the cells are what kind of helps with cellular communication, what nutrients flow in and out. And so it's really important to make sure you're getting adequate amounts. It seems to be helpful for some of these mood changes, as well as botanical support. St. John's wort is an herb that's been around for a long time, well studied in Germany for its role in addressing, mild depression, mood changes. So that can be helpful for some women during this transitional period. To promote restful sleep, trying to get into a regular bedtime routine, a very sleep-conducive environment, whether that be, dark, quiet, whatever it is that you need to get a good night's sleep, and trying not to do too much caffeine or alcohol or large meals or even exercise too close to bedtime, because those can be all kind of stimulating in their own ways. And then, of course, there are some botanical and herbal options, such as valerian root, which is it doesn't smell very good, but it is effective in terms of helping you kind of fall asleep faster and having a restful sleep. And so it's really good for that. It's also good for kind of anxiety and stress. In terms of weight management, certainly if you feel like you're starting to gain weight, get on top of that, regular exercise, consider our Cinch, inch loss plan, which is clinically tested. It's a really sound nutritional program with meal replacement shake bars to help you control your calories. You've got the program is powered and enhanced by leucine, an amino acid that's kind of the key signal to your muscle tissue to promote muscle mass. And preserve muscle mass while you're losing weight from fat. You'll get adequate amounts of protein in our shakes and bars and the rest of the meal plan options to control your hunger. And the program is really comprehensive with personal and flexible meal plan guidelines and support tools such as our cinchwellness.com site that we just launched in March, which is a great place to track your food intake, your exercise, do a health risk assessment, buddy up with other users, communicate through our forum. You can even reach me through the Talk to the Dietitian function if you have questions and concerns about your program. In terms of Shackley solutions to kind of address some of these issues, obviously, if you want to boost your soy intake, we have our Cinch shakes or energizing soy protein. If you want some botanical support for hot flashes, in addition to soy, we have our Menopause Balance Complex, which features black cohosh, which is another very well-studied herb that has been shown in studies to reduce the frequency and severity of hot flashes. And we recommend you, if you need to try that product, you know, take it for about 6 months, maybe stop for a month or so and see if your symptoms are still, you know, intensive enough to require botanical support. If they are, continue on the product for another 6 months and just check in with your body every 6 months or so to see if you need to continue on that product. Osteomatrix, again, for that added calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, and other bone health nutrients. Omega Guard for your omega-3 fatty acids. We have our Mood Lift Complex, which features St. John's wort for those mood changes that you might be experiencing. And botanical support with valerian coming from our gentle sleep complex. So we have a wide variety of Shackley solutions for this particular stage of a woman's life. So now I'm going to pass back on to Dr. Jamie to wrap it up for our later years in life, the 40s to 50s and beyond.
And beyond, the time for living well, as you say, Pam. And I totally agree with that since I am in the 50 and up category. And, you know, since women do live on average to 80 years, and, of course, with Shackley and with Vivix, who knows how much longer we're going to live. So we may be living 40% of our lives beyond the time of menopause. So certainly important to be paying attention to how to live healthfully. And I think that, you know, no one is really interested in living longer just for the purpose of living longer, but rather living healthier, feeling better is really the, you know, the level of interest. Some things to think about by the year 2030, which is actually sounds a long ways away, but we're here in 2010, so it's not so far away. The number of older Americans will have doubled. To 70 million, one in every five will be over the age of 65. Poor health, I think one of the major messages, and we talk about this a little bit since we've launched Vivix, but one of the major consequences of aging is not disease, actually. It may be a gradual change in your skin, in your hair, and a little bit harder to maintain your muscle mass as you age, but diseases that we call diseases of aging are really not diseases of aging. They're diseases of lifestyle, and your lifestyle accumulates over the years, which is why you see more and more of these diseases as you age. And so these are absolutely preventable conditions by virtue of a healthy lifestyle. And also, just to remind everyone out there that it is important to see your doctor and go through the normal kind of preventive strategies that are not always necessarily preventive, but it may alert that you have a problem. So that, you know, knowing what your various numbers are, which we'll go through here in a minute, and having mammograms and having physical exams, these are just important strategies as part of your overall health process. You do not want to be abdicating control of your health to your doctor. It all is in our own individual hands, but certainly that's another layer of information and feedback that you want to have from people who are expert in the diagnosis and treatment of disease. So that's one part of the picture along with all the prevention strategies. So we're just going to spend a little bit of time here going through two of the main issues. We can't obviously hit every health condition that may be issues as people get into the older years, but two of the most significant issues, especially for women, are number one, heart disease, and number two, bone health issues are primarily osteopenia and osteoporosis. And we clearly see these continuing to be on the rise. We have not stabilized or seen any decreases in either of these conditions, heart disease. There are now more women who die of heart disease every year than men. And part of that is women are living longer. They have more stress being out in the workforce a little bit more over the last 20 to 30 years. There are more women who smoke today, unfortunately, which is another big risk factor. There's increasing obesity, obviously, which is another big risk factor. So clearly there's a lot of things that you can do to prevent heart health or to prevent heart diseases, to promote heart health on the other side of the equation. Number one, obviously, all the things we've been talking about here tonight as far as how you eat, being active, supplementing wisely, managing your weight. Pam's gone through that here and how important that is. We all know that that's important. We have an amazing solution for that. But to know your numbers, and just a reminder for everyone that, you know, that it's important to know your numbers. We've been talking about that with vitamin D over the last year, and you're going to hear a lot more about that. But also know that your blood pressure should be below 120 over 80. And if it's not below 120 over 80, know what you need to do. Weight loss exercise, some types of supplementation can also help. But really the mainstay of improving your heart is what you eat, what you weigh, and how active you are. Some are the most important factors. Your fasting blood sugar should be less than 100. Your waist circumference ideally should be less than 35, ideally 35 in women. And your total cholesterol should be less than 200, although the newer guidelines are really pushing that lower and lower with each passing year. I'm not really sure whether there's good data on that. We certainly have more cholesterol-lowering drugs, and my conspiracy theory wonders about, you know, really whether we really, you know, because I think there's a little too much, my own personal opinion, there's a little too much focus on cholesterol, because it is, although it is important, clearly it is important to get your cholesterol low levels down to as low as they possibly can be, it is not the only factor in your controlling your likelihood of developing heart disease down the road, especially if it runs in your family. You'd like to see your LDL be below, that's the bad cholesterol, be below 100, ideally below 80 is actually the new guidelines, your HDL above 50, and your triglycerides to be less than 150. And then And a term that you've all become familiar with over the years since the landmark study published is CRP, or C-reactive protein, and that's a measure of inflammation in the body. It's not specific to heart disease, but inflammation is a huge component, and you can have a very elevated cholesterol level, but if your C-reactive protein, if you have no inflammation going on, if you eat a healthy diet but you genetically just make a little more cholesterol, it won't necessarily impact your arteries or your arterial health or your development of heart disease, actually, if you don't have inflammation. So the number of your C-reactive protein level, you'd like to be less than 3, and people in the landmark study actually had great numbers, on average 1.2 or 1.4 or something like that, so pretty good good levels. So when we talk about Shackley solutions for promoting heart health, I momentarily lost my flow here. There we go. We have the Shackley Heart Health Solutions. Obviously, we've been talking about Cinch and weight management. And so if you think about what your blood pressure, blood sugar, waist circumference levels are, if they're not where they need to be, if your doctor has told you, you know, you are pre-diabetic and you should be on blood pressure medicines, you need to be following those advice and getting checked on a regular basis. But the number one thing you can be doing is to get those eating habits under control and get that weight under control. And weight loss, even modest amounts of weight loss, can really be quite dramatic in helping people to lower their blood pressure, lower their blood cholesterol, lowering their blood sugar levels, decreasing improving your ability to lose weight and maintain that weight loss is all very, very important aspect of overall good health. Shackley Omega Guard is a very premier source of omega-3 fatty acids that have tremendous benefits related to immune health, heart health, brain function, and the list goes on, joint health, the list goes on, and we have a molecular distillation that we have in place in our pharmaceutical grade fish oil to help remove the impurities. So all those concerns about eating fish, as healthy as it might be in a perfect world, we unfortunately don't live in a perfect world, and so Omega Guard's a great solution. If you already have heart problems or you're concerned about that, that's in your family, extra amounts of coenzyme Q10 can also be very helpful and beneficial, and we have a really great product in CoQ Heart. And then, of course, the importance of fiber. We have a lot of fiber in the Cinch products, in the shakes and in the bars. But for those of you who may not be doing Cinch or maybe just doing one shake a day, or you're using energizing soy protein, then the addition of Fiber Plan can be very, very, very helpful. Fiber Plan is a wonderful delivery of soluble fiber that can help with lowering cholesterol. We used to call this product actually Heart Plan. We actually changed it to Fiber Plan. But it is, again, we put it in the heart health category because of its benefits from the standpoint of a good fiber source, but also soluble fiber can be a very important strategy, especially if you tend to have a little bit elevations in cholesterol. And then let's just close up with the importance of bone health. And, of course, I think this is a topic that is important not only if you're over 50, but it's actually important if you're 15, because we develop our bone density. Like 90% of our bone density is developed by the end of your teenage years. So by the time you're 20, we continue in our 20s to develop some additional bone density, but you're done. Your bone density is pretty much at its peak in your mid to late 20s. And so we oftentimes have the question in Shackley about someone who's been determined to have osteopenia or even osteoporosis, and how could that possibly happen to me because I'm on all these Shackley products. And, well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One, many of the people that are currently in Shackley did not actually start taking Shackley products until they were beyond the years where they could actually continue to add to bone density. It's very difficult to add to any bone density once you get beyond the age of 30. But also we're learning more about bone density and the importance of it. There was a lot of belief and research that was pointing to calcium as being the major player in determining bone density. We now know there's a myriad of nutrients, including many minerals, magnesium and boron and other minerals, as well as vitamin D. And that we're seeing, especially over these last probably 10 to 20 years, a significant increase in our understanding of the importance of vitamin D, as well as our understanding that so many people out there have suboptimal blood levels of vitamin D, which may very well have hampered and many people inside and outside of Shackley in their ability to maintain their bone density. Women lose a significant amount of their bone density. Up to 20% of your bone mass can be lost in the first few years, even in the last first two or three years after a menopause. So when you stop having your periods in that initial year to 2 years after that, that is an extremely critical time to be taking in an adequate amount of calcium and vitamin D. It's always important, but it's very critical then, because if you're not exercising with good weight-bearing exercise as well as taking in adequate amounts of calcium and vitamin D, then you may very well lose a significant amount of bone density that can be very critical in your development of osteopenia or even osteoporosis. The statistics are of great concern. One out of every two women beyond the age of age 50 will have a osteoporosis or osteopenia-related fracture in their lifetime, so it certainly is of concern. It's a concern for men and women. 20 to 25% of osteoporosis actually is in men, but obviously the lion's share of osteoporosis exists in women. We start out with lower bone density, so it's much easier for a female to get into trouble with a drop in bone density than a man who is going to start out with a higher level of bone density. So what do we need to do for our bone health? Well, obviously from childhood on, we need to be eating a healthy diet, a healthy amounts of protein, not a lot of animal protein, though, more vegetable protein. We need to be getting an adequate amount of calcium. It's not an excessive amount of calcium. Actually, it's 800 to 1,000 milligrams of calcium up until age 50, and then after age 50, up to 1,500 milligrams of calcium. Vitamin D is the big critical nutrient, and just as we've been talking about cholesterol and blood pressure and C-reactive protein, knowing your numbers, know what your vitamin D level is. We'll be talking about that a lot this summer. We have another vitamin D study, follow-up to the study that we talked about last year in St. Louis, related to an interventional vitamin D study with non-Shackley product users, actually, so we can really see what our products can do in a non-supplement using population. So it'll be quite interesting results that we'll be sharing in Anaheim. But vitamin D, the normal blood level of 25-hydroxy vitamin D is 30 to 80. very wide range. And so your doctor may say you're normal, quote unquote, and your number may be 32 or 31 or 35. And whereas you may be sufficient in vitamin D for your basic bone function, we're now identifying that in order to really decrease your risk of hip fractures and or optimize your immune health, cardiovascular health, higher levels may be beneficial. It's still not clear exactly what level of vitamin D in the blood is absolutely optimum. It may very well be a range. It most likely will be a range, but you might want to make sure that you're in that range. And ideally, you'd want to go towards the middle of that range. 40 to 50 nanograms per ml would be the where we would suggest people to go. We're also going to be bringing out some very specific information as to how to try to determine how much supplemental vitamin D you need, because that still is a little bit of a wild west out there, for lack of a better term. There's a lot of somewhat knee-jerking out there, it would seem to me. Again, this is my opinion, that that there are doctors and healthcare professionals that are recommending even, you know, extremely high amounts, that we don't necessarily have good data yet to support that those are the levels that are needed. We have some results from our landmark study, our study from last year, as well as our study this year, that we'll be sharing with you in the coming couple of months that will help, I think, everyone in the Shackley land feel much more comfortable about the level of vitamin D you're taking to try to get to more optimal levels. There's a number of things we're determining, including what your weight is, what your skin color is, what latitude you live at in the United States. That helps to determine what level or what amount of supplemental vitamin D you need to take. But clearly it's more than the current RDA, which is 400 international units. So we now have Vitalizer with 1,000 to 1,200 international units. We're increasing the amounts of vitamin D in our Osteomatrix and our Chewable CalMag. We increased it in our Incredivites and our Shackley Infant Toddler mix. And so we clearly are going out with higher recommendations, and you'll see a little bit more in this arena as well. So just to close up on bone health, I think it's important to have a bone density. I think it's important to talk to your doctors about if they do recommend some of some of the drugs, the bisphosphonate drugs, Fosamax and Actonel and others, to make sure you know all of the ins and outs of that. There's risks with every medication. It may be necessary that you do that, but do that with an informed discussion with your doctor. And also, even if you were on those medications, you still have a critical need. Everyone has a critical need for adequate intakes, optimum intake of vitamin D, calcium, boron, vitamin K, and all the other nutrients that are important in helping to maintain your bone density. Regular weight-bearing exercise, as well as if you drink excessive amounts of alcohol or caffeine and or excessive amounts of or smoking at all, not excessive amounts, any amount of smoking actually increases your risk of lowering your bone density. And then just in closing, of course, we have our wonderful Vivix product, which is a cellular anti-aging tonic, it's a Beyond Resveratrol combination of resveratrol and our Rejuvitol blend with some muscadine and other polyphenols, a very unique profile of polyphenols that help address the ways we age at a cellular level. So that's an additional tool in your armamentarium to help promote your overall dietary intake of great nutrients that can help your body be as healthy as possible. So we've pretty much taken up our time, but we are going to open this up for Q&A. I think hopefully this has been a very valuable amount of information, a nice little training for all of you to use. Actually, Jody, I'm going to give them this information after you tell people how to line up for Q&A, and then I'll come back on with a couple of announcements.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear an acknowledgment that you have been placed in queue. If your question has been answered and you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the number 1 again. All questions will be queued in the order that they are received. Once again, if there are any questions, please press the 1 on your touch-tone phone.
All right, thank you so much. And again, I think this is a great training for you to be able to access. You can access in the by virtue of this number. It'll be archived for 1 month. I'll just give this to you in a brief moment here. But you can also download this and save this to your own files so that you can have this on as an ongoing audio training for your organization. The number to call is area code 512-404-1255, and press the number 2. 512-404-1255, and press the number 2. Again, that'll be archived for 1 month until the next health science call, and then it is actually replaced with the newest health science call. But you can, again, download that and keep that for posterity, and we'll start our questions now.